Good morning. The hymn that Dave and Carissa were just playing, who knows the title to that? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. How many of you know you're here this morning because the shepherd led you to be here? Not this shepherd, but the great shepherd, right? He led you. He led each one of us to be able to be here. And then it says, much we need thy tender care. Isn't that true? Aren't you glad it's not up to you to take care of yourself, but that he's there to take care of us? I think that's really good. And then it says, in your pleasant pastures, feed us. That's why we're here this morning, is to be able to be fed, not physically, but spiritually. I hope you're hungry this morning. I hope you're ready for what it is that God has in store for us. Well, I'm not going to charge you extra for that sermon. I'll just throw that in for free. All right. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to come and worship with us. And when you came in, hopefully you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, either drop it in the offering plate or leave it on the information table, that would be so helpful to us. And hopefully you also received a bulletin, and hopefully every single one of you got a bulletin. If not, please make sure that you grab one on the way out. Not a whole lot of activities this week, but if you'll look underneath that banner where it says this week at LHBC, you're going to see that there's a whole list of things that are going to be happening here in September. Things are gearing up. And so speaking of things gearing up, Awana is going to begin September 3rd at 6:25. There's first night flyers and permission forms that were mailed out, but if you didn't happen to get one, or you need an extra one, there are some on the information table for you to be able to get. And speaking of Awana, we are in need of some more help. And so if this is something that you can devote your time and talent to, we would sure love to be able to have you come and join us for this very important ministry and outreach of our church here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. You'll also see, not only do we need help for Awana, we need help in Children's Church. So if you can help in Awana, if you can help in Children's Church, come and see me or go and see Robert. Robert, give a wave so that people know where you're at and who you are, to be able to do that. And so please be in prayer for that. And if you have no experience helping in Awana, guess what? We will give you OJT, on the job training. And so, but there's a leaders meeting next Sunday at 6 p.m. here at the church. For those of you that have been serving, will continue to serve, and would like to serve in our Awana ministry. So you have about a week to be able to pray to see if that's really something that God would have you be involved with. And so we could use you to be able to help that. Our Daily Bread devotional books for the next quarter, September through November, are out on the information table as well. So make sure that you avail yourselves to those. Well, I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that we have this opportunity this morning to be able to gather together as a church family. Don't you? Are you ready to worship? You're ready to praise, ready to do all of those things in worship that here at Lake Hazel Bible Church we consider to be worship. Everything we do in our morning service is all about worship. Everything we do as a church is all about worship. We're here to worship him. Let's get started. Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now singing hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah, it really amazing grace. And 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that grace appear in the hour I first believed.
Here we go.
Singing hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. Oh, it really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. Oh, it really is amazing grace. Hallelujah. Well, there's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcome me in. Called me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. Oh, it really is amazing grace. It really is amazing grace.
Give the Lord a round of applause. Come on, he's worthy of our praise. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. So thankful to be in your presence. Lord, we want to lift you up. Jesus, we are here to lift you up. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for that amazing grace. Amen.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. Emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. No condemnation
my own. Please be seated as we continue this morning.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide. You know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still in the love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was a dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. In Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for paying our ransom. We could not do it. We needed you, and we still need you. So thank you. We say thank you, and we couldn't say it enough. Thank you again. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done, and what you're doing. Amen. Our usher is going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a song that was requested. You can make requests of me for music, and I'm happy to take a look.
Grace, what have you done? Murdered for me on that cross, accused in absence of wrong, my sin washed away in your blood. Too much to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. Death, where is your sting? Power is as dead as my sin. The cross has taught me to live, and mercy my heart now to sing. The day and its troubles shall come. I know that your strength is enough. The scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, and give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. And it's all because of you, Jesus, it's all because of you, Jesus, it's all because of your love that my soul will live. And it's all because of you, Jesus, it's all because of you, Jesus, it's all because of your love that my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. Oh, to be like you, give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart.
Thank you, worship team. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 5. Hey, we're still making progress in our study of the book of Genesis. We've made it to chapter 5. You know, I looked back in my record keeping of when we started Genesis. Do you want to know when we started? January. Not that long ago. It just seems that way. There's just so much in these chapters in Genesis for us to be able to dig through and for us to be able to know. But I've got to tell you right from the start, Genesis chapter 5 is one of the boring parts of the Bible. Yeah, really? There are boring parts? There are people that believe that. I've had people say to me, you know, I started reading the Bible and I got about a quarter of the way through and I came to Genesis chapter 5 and it got boring and so I quit. There's some boring parts. You know, there's a story that is told of an old Scottish preacher who was reading in a sermon from the opening chapter of Matthew. He started reading, Abraham was the father of Isaac and Isaac the father of Jacob and Jacob the father of Judah. And then it suddenly occurred to him how long this list was. And, not certain he wanted to read it all, he looked up from the text and declared, and they kept on fathering one another all the way down this page and halfway into the next. And so when it comes to Genesis chapter 5, it seems like we should follow the example of the Scottish preacher. It might seem like there's not any value in reading or studying or preaching on the boring parts of God's word. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is much to learn, even in the boring parts of God's word. Far from being boring, these narratives are powerful and fascinating. We can visualize the people that are being described. We can see them living the lives they lived, making the choices they made, and making the mistakes that they made. Now, Genesis chapter 5 may not have exciting narratives such as David and Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den, but there are still some interesting things to learn. They're just a little bit more subtle, beginning here in Genesis chapter 5. So this morning, we're going to spend time in Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to look at death, and we're going to look at life. So hopefully by now you've found Genesis chapter 5 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now notice that it says Adam was made in the likeness of God. Well, we saw that in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. But notice now that when Adam had a son, his son was in Adam's likeness, after his image. Now remember, Adam had been an innocent man, created in the image of God. But when he and Eve sinned, they tore a hole in the fabric of that innocence. And now that they had children, those children became like them. They had the same strengths and weaknesses Adam and Eve now had. Adam's descendants still bore the image of God in their lives, but it had become warped beneath the sin that Adam had committed. And the most obvious example of that was Adam's firstborn son. Do you remember from last week who that firstborn son was? Yeah, his name was Cain. And do you remember what Cain is known for? He murdered his brother. Cain was the very first child of Adam and Eve, and he showed just how sinful people could be who now are in the likeness of Adam. And things did not get any better as time progressed. In fact, by the time of Noah, as we're going to see when we get into chapter 6, by the time of Noah, the Bible tells us that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And things have not changed. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And sin is a price, Romans chapter 6 verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is exactly the lesson in Genesis chapter 5 that drives home to us. Repeatedly, Genesis chapter 5 tells us about a man fathering a son, and eventually he dies. It's in verses 5, 8, 11, 14, 17, 20, 27, 31. Did you write all of those down? Those are all the boring parts. This man died, that man died, and that man over there died. 8 times in Genesis chapter 5, God tells us about the reality of death. Now, the thing we have to keep in mind is that the descendants of Adam were all mortal. And God tells us they all what? Died. And so shall we, because the wages of sin is death. There's no escaping that. Mankind tries to avoid it, tries to stave it off, but death will come to all of us. So there are 9 men mentioned here in this genealogy. So I want you to listen to what's said about each one of these men. Adam died after living for 930 years. Can you imagine that? We know people who have lived to be 100 or maybe even a little older than 100. We can't fathom that. But to think that somebody could live here on earth for 930 years, wow. Adam died after living for 930 years. Seth died after living for 912 years. Enosh died after living for 905 years. Kenan died after living for 910 years. Mahaliel died after living for 895 years. Jared died after living for 962 years. Enoch did not die. We'll get to that in a minute. Methuselah died after living for 969 years. Now, Methuselah was the longest living human in recorded history. He truly lived a long life. And as he aged, I wonder if he experienced the same things related to aging as we do. Things like, as you get older, your secrets are safe with your friends. They can't remember them either. Forget about health food. We need all the preservatives we can get. I like that. We would be unstoppable if we could only get started. Eventually, you stop lying about your age and you start bragging about it. The older we get, the fewer things seem worth waiting in line for. Becky and I just had this experience at Walmart the other day. We were behind a very slow cashier and a very slow lady who decided that instead of shopping and paying for her groceries in a timely manner, she would just continue to carry on a conversation. And the conversation got slower and slower and more bogged down. She had this whole cart full of groceries, and the cashier kept bagging and bagging groceries one at a time into each and every bag. And we only had a few things in our cart, and I'm thinking, are the things in our cart really worth standing in this line for all of this time? Is it really worth it? Well, it was, because we had chocolate in our cart. Made all the difference in the world. I didn't care how much longer it took. I had chocolate in the cart, right? Some people try to turn back the odometers of their life. Not me. I want people to know why I look this way. I've traveled a long way, and many of the roads were not always paved. I wonder if Methuselah experienced some of these same things. Lamech, not the same Lamech we talked about last week, a different Lamech, died after living for 777 years. Noah, as we're going to talk about starting in chapter 6, died after living for 950 years. Now, you know what's not boring? Each of the names of these men had a special meaning. Adam meant man. Seth means appointed. Enosh means mortal. Kenan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means despairing. And Noah means rest or comfort. You ready for this? Because you put this all together, and this is the message that you get. Man appointed mortal sorrow. In other words, man is destined to die, but the blessed God shall come down teaching, and his death shall bring the despairing in sin rest and comfort. And that's from the boring parts. Wow, how cool is that? So several times in the Old Testament, God declared that his intention was to take care of the damage that sin had caused us. And in Isaiah chapter 53, God made it clear that this would come through the death of someone who would take our punishment for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or sin of us all. What does this tell us? We had a problem called sin. God had a plan called the Savior. Jesus came down revealing God to us and telling us about God's redemption and God's promise for eternal life. And then Jesus died so that we who despair in sin could have this promised eternal life. Whoa, how did you get all of that from chapter 5, Pastor Sam? It's called not skipping the boring parts. But that wasn't all there was to the message in Genesis chapter 5. Even though the repeated message in that chapter is this man died and that man died and the other man died, even though that theme was repeated several times, there was one man who did not die. Do you remember his name? That's right, Enoch. So now let's spend the rest of our time focusing on life. Look at verse 24, chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 says this: by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Now that's hard for us to be able to understand, that there could be a human being who lived here upon the face of the earth who did not face death. But actually, there's been two human beings that have lived here on the face of the earth that did not face death. One was Enoch. The other one, his name starts with an E too. Who knows who that was? Elijah. Exactly. Okay. A little girl heard about Enoch in Sunday school and explained it this way to her mother. Enoch used to take long walks with God. And one day he walked so far that God said to him, "It's too far to go back. So why don't you just come on home with me?" Now, I don't know if that's exactly the way that it goes, but that's kind of neat to kind of think about it. And I think what that tells us about Enoch walking with God and God just saying, "You know what? Why don't you just come on home? Why don't you just come and be with me?" I think the thing that we can pick up from that is that the best thing we can do is to walk consistently with God. Henry Ford said, "Those who walk with God always reach their destination." Wow. Dwight L. Moody said, "If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God." Leonard Ravenhill said, "Smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor. But wise men walk with God." I like that. And maybe God is saying to us right now, "I'm here. Let's walk together." Now, one thing that we're not told is that Enoch walked a good life. He didn't go home with God because he walked a moral life. Enoch may have done those things because you can't walk with God very long without some of it rubbing off on you. But Enoch did not impress God because he lived a moral life. He did not get to go home with God because he kept all the rules. He did not see death because Enoch walked with God through faith. And that's how you and I walk with God today, through faith. Now, many people believe that God will be impressed with them if they follow all the rules. They're even told by spiritual leaders, they're even told by churches, that you can walk with God and you can walk into God's heaven if you just follow all of these rules. They believe that if they do enough good things, it will balance out all the bad that they have done. And so when their time comes to face God, they will walk up to those pearly gates, give God a wink and a nod, and stroll right on in, because they will have earned their place in heaven. They deserve their spot in God's presence. But God's word makes it clear, it doesn't work that way. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." For by grace, whose grace? God's grace. You have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not the faith is a gift, but the grace is a gift. The salvation that God provides, the promise of eternal life that God provides, that's the gift. It is the gift of God, not a result of what? Works. There isn't a person in heaven today that is in heaven today, whether they were believers in the Old Testament or the New Testament or now in the church age, there's not a person in heaven today that got there by their own means. Y'all understand that? And you're not going to be the first. You're going to get there because you believe in what it is that God, through what Jesus did for you on the cross. You believe in him for that promise of eternal life. It's not about you. It's about him. Didn't we sing about that this morning? A couple different songs. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. How vast, how immeasurable. Love that what? Took him to the cross to pay the debt of sin that we as mankind owed, because we could not pay that ourselves. That's what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says. It's not a result of works, so that what? No one may boast. There's no one in heaven walking those streets of gold that can brag about the fact that they made it there on their own. And you won't be the first to be able to do that. You cannot earn God's salvation. You might want to write this down. You cannot earn God's salvation, and you don't deserve it. You deserved punishment in a place of punishment for all of eternity. So to get to heaven, you need to do what Enoch did. You need to do what every believer who's in heaven today has done. You need to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Listen to John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. By the way, these are the words of Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That whoever what? Works? No, it's not about work. You can't work enough. If it's all about works, you'll never know that you've done enough to be able to what? Get there. But there's there's belief systems that want you to believe that. There's preachers, even here in the Treasure Valley, that want you to believe that. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus said what? The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have what? Eternal life. Then he goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, oh, there's that word again, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You get it? Do you understand this morning? You cannot earn God's salvation, and you do not deserve it. That's why God provided a Savior. That's why God provided a Savior. We had a sin problem. God took care of the problem by sending a Savior for us. And when death comes, and it will, unless Jesus comes to collect believers in the clouds, what then? When death comes, and it will, what then? The story is told about an ambitious university student who was talking with his uncle. His uncle asked him, Joe, tell me, what do you plan to do after you graduate from college? And Joe said, oh, I guess I'll start my career. That sounds prudent, said the uncle. What then? I guess, said Joe, I'll get married and have a family. That's wonderful, said the old man. What then? Well, replied Joe, I guess I'll work hard at my job and make my fortune. Good for you, said the uncle. What then? Then, said Joe, I'll buy a country home and retire. That sounds inviting, said the uncle. What then? Well, I suppose, said Joe, that one day I'll die. That's true, said the uncle. What then? Every human being is going to live in eternity somewhere. Bible makes it very clear. Some will live eternally in a place of eternal punishment, and some will live eternally in heaven. The dividing line is in what or in whom do we believe? Those who are believing in their works, those who are believing in their accomplishments, those who are believing in their intelligence, those who are believing in their power and influence, those who are believing in their wealth and their possessions, eternal punishment. Those who believe in Jesus for his promise of eternal life, they're going to live that eternal life in heaven. So here's the question I want to leave with you this morning. Do we believe in Jesus for eternal life in heaven? Or do we believe in someone or something else? Because when death comes for you, what then? Father, thank you for what it is that you have taught us from Genesis chapter 5 this morning. Father, thank you for reminding us that only Jesus can give us that promise of eternal life. Father, he died on that cross so that we would know that the promise of eternal life can be ours if we just believe, if we just believe in him. Father, help us if we're here this morning and we've never believed in you for the promise of eternal life. Help us not to let another moment go by without taking care of that. And Father, we can take care of that in the quietness of our heart, in the quietness of our mind. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, if there's those here that need to do that, that your Holy Spirit will guide them. Father, thank you. Thank you for providing for us a Savior who takes care of the problem of sin. And all we have to do is believe. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Let's sing it one more time.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. Yes, he's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In